to others. That's a principle that we want in our life, is to be of the utmost service. You remember back in step one where it said to be made usefully whole is one of the aims of this program. To make me usefully whole. So if I can be of service to anybody, whether it is the clerk in the store where I am, whether it is someone on the out on the road of life, I can be of service to my neighbors. Be aware of the fact that, you know, one of them is having illness in their family. They may need one of my casseroles. They may not eat it, but they may need it. Famous for casseroles and showing up with them. But that's what makes me feel better about myself when I regard somebody else and not just always regard what Willie's going through. To be aware of what goes on in the neighborhood, what goes on in my little town. We're back in spring after being gone for 20 years. And what goes on in my little town is important. It's important that I'm there for them when I possibly can be. Having had a spiritual awakening as the results of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Whatever principles suit you with these steps, that's fine. I hope you can use mine as just a guideline that I was given by an old timer. I hope you can keep those principles utmost in your life. And any other that you find that you want to run in there. I think it was with step 12, when I got there, that I put my third A in my program. I had admitted many years before that alcohol had me down. I admitted it. But it took me a long time to accept it. To say, this is the way it is, Willie, and it's never going to change. Your body will never tolerate this stuff. To accept it, that was my second A. But when I got down to practicing step 12, I added that third A to my life, and that was approval. I finally was able to approve of the fact that I'm alcoholic. I ain't that pitiful. That's just a part of what I am. This program has been enabled me to add to that fact. That's a permanent fact in my life. I'm alcoholic. But as I've gone through these years, I've really begun to appreciate the fact that God chose me to go through this beautiful program and to be able to use it in my life. And He's chosen all of us. We have a pamphlet that says, you know, why you were chosen. If you ever see it, get a hold of it and read it. Not because of any big thing we might ever do, whether we're, you know, going to be big up in service or whatever, or to be even important person in the group. You're just a person in the group. Whatever. If I can touch, when I make a talk, people will ask me, you know, Willie, I know when I came out here to California to whatever that was that had 6,000 people, somebody said, you know, Willie, how do you talk to that many people? And I said, I don't talk to that many people. I'm hoping one gal out there, just one gal. I know she's out there, and that's who I want to be talking to. If we touch one life in a whole year, we will have done our job. We can talk to a lot of people, but we know that, you know, a lot of times it ain't soup yet. They're not ready to hear what we have to say, so we go ahead. I'll spread this word like a disease. Whether I'm in a little group of four or five at my meeting and the football game has kept the rest of them away, which is all right, because I'm going to slip over and see how it's doing after I go to the meeting. But the little things in my life and the way that I can improve, thank you, Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know what else that could have done in this smart-aleck, rebellious person that I had become. I don't know anything else that could have done this. Maybe something else could, but thank goodness. It's, you know, I wanted my husband to understand this program. I wanted him to understand what was wrong with me. And finally, Rose said to me one day, she said, you know, Willie, you don't really need for him to understand. You got all of us that do. Why was I demanding that he understand? He couldn't do that. There wasn't any way. Not and pour it down the drain like he did. There's no way that man could ever understand. But see, I have all y'all. I don't need any particular person to understand me. And as far as my alcoholism is concerned. So, Bill has this in our beautiful 12th step. He wrote, there's a page in our, as Bill sees it, says, practical experience shows that drinking will so much ensure immunity from drinking. So much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. That comes straight out of the book. And Bill writes in as Bill sees it. Sponsorship held two surprises for me. First, that my sponsors cared about me. What I had thought was gratitude was more like love. They wanted me to be happy and to grow and to remain sober. Knowing how they felt kept me from drinking more than once. Second, I discovered that I was able to love someone responsibly, with respectful and genuine concern for that person's growth. Before that time, I had thought that my ability to care sincerely about another's well-being had died from lack of use. To learn that I can love without greed or anxiety has been one of the deepest gifts of the program it's given me. Gratitude for that gift has kept me sober many, many times. And I think that's why I think that working with others, whether in great numbers or single basis, that I love the best, is going to make me grow, make me a better person. It says the joy of living is AA's 12th step, is the theme, and action is its key word. Here we turn outward toward our fellow alcoholics who are still in distress. Here we begin to practice all 12 steps of the program in our daily lives so that we and those about us may feel emotional security. When the 12th step is seen in its full implication, it's really talking about that kind of love that has no price tag on it. That's something to really value, you know? No price tag. Whether my girls stay sober, maybe I've spent hours and hours and hours with them, and they go out and get drunk at me. But if I'm following what my program tells me, that's not the price tag that I put on them, that they not drink when I have suggested that it's not a good idea. 1,752 times I have said that. And then there they go. Willie, I started drinking again. Does that squash the love I'm supposed to have for him? I'm not putting any price tag. Okay, hon, let's start over. That's what this step tells me, that I have to have that as a frame of mind. The next couple of pages are beautiful to start when you're working with somebody, and you find that it's maybe a little bit, they're still fuzzy up here. They've been drunk for 8 weeks, and you know, they're a little bit fuzzy. But the next couple of pages takes the steps one by one and puts them, doesn't change them in any way, but it sort of puts little practical things, shoots it in there. And it's good to go over that with someone that on page 107, 108, clear down 109, it gives sort of a little capsule that many times I can work with the newcomer that's still fuzzed up, or maybe a newcomer, and we have lots of those in big cities. In Houston, a lot of people I run in can't read. They simply have not learned to read. They've dropped out of school before they even got to junior high school. And they've never learned to really read to be able to comprehend. So by just taking this and going over 107, 108, 109 and talking about the steps before we start reading the book, which I'm going to read to them, or else give them the tapes and they can listen to it as they follow the words. But this is sort of a little capsule, and it's very good. I wish we had time. But down in the middle of page 109, that'll be your homework assignment, you know, for the evening, to read that and see if you can't use it. If you can't, fine. It's still going to be there. Now, what about the rest of 12th step? The wonderful energy it releases and the eager action by which it carries our message to the next suffering alcoholic, and which finally translates the 12 steps into action upon all of our affairs, is the payoff, the magnificent reality of Alcoholics Anonymous. What, you know, Joe and Charlie, and we're not the only ones that have shared this weekend. My God, y'all have shared with each other. In the hallways, out eating lunch, having dinner together, standing out, even us poor old sinful smokers. We've shared when we were out there puffing on our coffin tacks. We've shared with each other. And that is the magnificent reality. You don't see too many church people really. Now, and I'm not down in the churches. Oh no, don't write me letters. But they're busy to get on home. The gals are home and back in my days to get off the girdle and all the stuff that's holding them in from their Sunday clothes. But you don't see them spend 45 minutes after church just sitting there jawing like we do after a meeting. We have a meeting after a meeting. And then sometime we have another meeting after another meeting. This camaraderie. A lot of you people have told me you love me. You don't even know me. You don't even know me. But I know when you tell me that, you're sincere. Asalaam? Uh-huh. We got a peeping Tom someplace. Even the newest of newcomers finds undreamed reward as he tries to help his brother alcoholic, the one who is even blinder than he. This is indeed the kind of giving that actually demands nothing. See, I don't demand proof that you love me. I just take you at your word because you love just a plain old ordinary fella drunk. He does not expect his brother sufferer to pay him or to even love him. See, I can't demand homage by those girls that I've sponsored for as long as 20 years, some of them. I can't look and say, you know, well, I don't think they care very much for me. That is no concern of mine. It's passing this program like a disease. And then he discovers that by the divine paradox of this kind of giving, he has found his own reward, whether his brother had yet received anything or not. Whether these girls, you know, get sober and stay sober, that's not any of my, never mind. I always want it for them, desperately. But this is their concern. His own character may still be gravely defective, but he somehow knows that God has enabled him to make a mighty beginning, and he senses that he stands at the edge of a new mystery, joys and experiences of which he has never even dreamed. I must cover this last paragraph on this page. Nor is this the only kind of 12-step work, because I have girls back there that are brand new, and I want to pass this on to you, darling. This is not the only kind of 12-step work, working and sponsoring somebody and everything, honey. We sit in AA meetings and listen, not only to receive something for ourselves, but to give the reassurance and support which our presence can bring, just being there. There was somebody there for me in those meetings. I want to just be there, whether I have any miraculous things to say or not. And usually, many times I'll sit in a meeting, my name is Willie and I'm an alcoholic, and gosh, I'm glad to be here. And that's all I have to say. And then I sit and listen. But my presence there, just another person occupying a chair, is reassurance to the new people. So, honey, you go and you sit. because you're reassuring someone that you're there for a purpose. If our turn comes to speak at a meeting, we again try to carry AA's message. Whether our audience is one or many, it is still 12-step work. Just the fact that I sit there, I'm glad to be here. I am an alcoholic. That's 12-step work. I'm assuring that girl that I have a lot of the feelings that she has. There are many opportunities even for those of us who feel unable to speak at a meeting or who are so situated that they cannot do much face-to-face 12-step work. See, you don't have to, if you don't want to talk, I've heard people, you know, you're going to have to talk at this meeting. And I always draw back and think, well, that's not what the textbook says. If she's not ready to speak, then I don't ever insist on it. I'll tell her, speak when you're ready, hon. And then I find out that, you know, after she gets ready to speak, I can't shut her up. But we are the ones that aren't ready to speak. We're the ones that who take on unspectacular but important tasks that make good 12-step work possible. People like Ken over here, who works all year long and puts a tremendous amount. He's not just putting on a seminar. He's doing 12-step work. And all of those people that help him, every one of them, they're doing 12-step work. They're not just doing favors. Perhaps arranging for the coffee and cake after the meeting. That's 12-step work. Where so many skeptical and suspicious newcomers have found confidence and comfort in the laughter and the talk that goes on after a meeting. They look over, they hear a big belly laugh coming out over here. And see, that gives them confidence that all of us are not morose and we're all not miserable. I'm sober and I'm miserable. But when they hear the laughter that goes on after the meeting around that coffee pot, and if you've made sure that there's coffee there, that's 12-step work. This is 12-step work in the very best sense of the word. Freely you have received and freely give is the core of this part of step 12. Like I say, there's 20 pages on step 12, and I hope that you read every single one of them and enjoy what you, because it's a gift. I want to leave you with two things. Both articles came out of the grapevine. I don't usually use too many things that don't come out of the grapevine or from our program. It's called Flight Pattern. It may help you when you leave here to think in these terms. Next fall, when you see geese heading south for the winter, flying along in a V formation, you might consider what science has discovered about why geese fly that way. It's been learned as each bird flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird immediately following. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock adds at least 71% greater flying range than if each bird flew by itself. People who share a common sense of community like we do can get where we're going quicker and easier because they are traveling on the uplift of one another, and that's what we do. I travel on your uplift, you travel on mine. We can get further. When a goose falls out of formation, it immediately feels that drag and resistance of trying to go it alone and quickly gets back into formation to take advantage of the uplifting power of the bird immediately in the front. If we have as much sense as a goose, we're going to stay in formation with those who are headed in the same direction that we are. When the lead goose gets tired, it rotates back in formation and another goose flies point. It pays to take turns doing hard jobs. Geese honk from behind to encourage those up front to keep up the speed. And we do. We too do something when we honk from behind. Finally, when a goose gets sick or is wounded by gunshot and falls out, two geese fall out of formation and follow it down to help and to protect it. They stay with their ailing goose until it is either able to fly or until it dies. They launch out on their own or with another formation to catch up with their group. If we have the simple sense of a goose, we're going to stay behind each other and stay beside each other just that way. Many, many people, as I've gone through this sobriety life, have asked me what AA is. I don't know. The Grapevine answered it in 1947 with a Canadian's words that he put in there, and I've never seen anything better than to leave with you. See, other people try to explain us, and they can't do it. And as I told you, you know, AA is, what is it? Loads of people here this weekend, and it has to mean something very deep to each one of us. It doesn't necessarily have to mean the same identical thing. So it means a lot to a lot of different people. And he best summed it up. AA is a spirit. It cannot be touched, nor can it be completely understood. It's as wide as the world and yet small enough to fit snugly into the hearts and the minds of man. It's brought light where only darkness dwelt. It's given hope to the hopeless and help to those who yearned in despair. It's nourished forgiveness in those who knew no pity. It's given strength to the weak and humility to the strong. It's spurred to higher goals those who strove for nothing. It's taught patience to the hurried and action to the lazy. To youth, it's given vision, and to the aged, promise. To the lonely companions and to the restless, rest. To the sick, it's been a doctor, and to the dying, it has revived the desire to live. It has no judgment against the unteachable, nor has it praise for those who learn. To the outcast, it's been a family, and to the childless, it has given children. To the ignorant, wisdom, and to the wise, tolerance. It's given to all men that which is most, most precious. It's given a love of life and a love of truth, with enough left over to share with each other. Thank you for letting me share with you.